Your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, and thank you guys once again for our youth band up here this morning. I mean, it's a pretty big feat to get any teenager here at 6 a.m. to warm up and rehearse, so I think that speaks volumes as to how much they love our church. So it's a really cool thing, and thanks for having me. Obviously, if you came to hear Pastor Dave this morning, I'm sorry, I'm not him. But good news, he's on vacation, and I'll make a promise, it's going to be even better next weekend when he gets back, well-rested and hearing from the Lord. So come back next weekend, he'll be here with us, continuing our series. And my name's Justin, and I'm our youth pastor. And as I get started this morning, I just want to take a moment. I really wanted to do this to say thank you. As our youth pastor, sometimes what goes on in the youth room, you don't always get to see and hear in this room. But I get to see week in and week out how kids come into that room and how we have services and they're making friends and finding fellowship. And God's doing things in their lives. And I just personally want to say thank you for all your prayers in here when you guys see we have events or your support financially when we have our bake sales out there in the sun and we're selling donuts and stuff. You guys are so faithful to support our kids and to just be an encouragement to me and the other kids. And so for me to you, I just can't tell you what a blessing it is to see all that God's doing in our kids' lives. So to our study this morning, about probably 3 or 4 months ago, Pastor Dave came to each and every one of us pastors and he said, "Hey, here's my list of Proverbs and the things we're going through this year. I want you to pick something and you're going to teach on it." And, you know, immediately we all get nervous and we're like, okay. And I look at the list and I'm like, wow, how do you pick which one of these, I mean, life-changing topics to teach on? And I'm thinking, do I pick what I'm really good at, like personally? Do I pick what I might be a really good speaker at? And I kind of settled on a third one as I came to today's topic. I picked what I really wanted to grow in. Because I saw this and I'm like, man, if there's one thing in my life that I want to be marked by or other people to see and to say about me, it would be this thing. And I definitely don't have it down, but I'm speaking to you today as someone who's come to these texts and these Proverbs, and I've found life. And it's changed me, and I'm excited to share it with you. So open in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, to chapter 12. You can flip to verse 25. And Solomon says in Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." I like that. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Seems kind of simplistic at first, but the more you meditate and chew on this, the more you're going to realize, wow, there's a lot to this about how we as people work, how life tends to work in our lives. And he starts out with the idea that anxiety in our hearts cause depression. Or as the old King James Version says, heaviness in the heart makes it stoop or drop down low. I love the New Living Translation. It says, worry weighs us down. And the idea that Solomon's encapsulating here is, listen, there's a lot in life that bounces around in our hearts, and in time, it begins to kind of change how we view life and how we deal with things. There's no shortage of problems and trouble. You just flip on the news, and we're a more informed and connected and news-driven society than any other time in history. And you flip on our news, and it's like, wow, news from across the world, it's scandals, it's corruption, it's terror, it's natural disasters and death and problems. And in the news industry, they've found that people actually gravitate towards negative things. We don't like to think of ourselves like that. We like to think of ourselves as positive people. But they found that to the point where they publish and put out about 17 negative news stories to every one positive story. Because they found that, a dog having puppies is cool and all, but you really, when you see disaster and terror happen, you're really drawn to that. When you see political debate going on and people calling each other names, we can't turn it off. And it's one of those things about our nature that tends to build up inside of us. I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you've been to work, and you could have a great day at work where everybody's really nice, or a great day at school if you're younger, everybody's really nice, but then there's that one person that says something. There's that one thing that your boss gives you, or that one underhanded comment that just, it ruins your entire day. You could have all positive experiences, but for some reason, the one negative thing tends to have a greater impact a lot of times in our lives than the positive things do. Or like, I don't know if you're like me, but you could be driving and you're merging and, you know, 25 people turn on their blinker and they're like, oh, God bless you, and they wave and it's great. Then there's that one person, right? And that one person who's got to swerve into the pedestrian, like the bike lane, and gets around everyone. And when they come up next to me, I'm like inch to inch with them, grinding them, pushing them over. It's like, a chariot's race where I'm just crashing into people. And it's like, you know, that one person, it's that one negative experience that tends to stick with us and have those kind of impacts. And I mean, that tends to happen in life. We turn on the news, we go, our daily lives, there's the stresses at work, the problems with kids, maybe you're having trouble in your marriage, you couple that with maybe bad news or health problems, the diet you meant to start over New Year's, and just everything builds up. Everything has a way of kind of beginning to take that hope and that joy, maybe that positivity we have in life, and kind of dropping it down low, bumming us out, the youth pastor translation. Just, you get worn out. But what I love about this verse is Solomon gives us balance that we're to have in our life. He says in the second part of this verse, a good word makes it glad. It's like, all that is going on, but haven't you noticed the times where someone's just had that ability to come up to you and say something kind? Maybe give you a compliment. Maybe tell you you look good and you're like, whoa, wow, really? I just felt horrible. Or they believe in you. Or you just don't know what's wrong, but they're like, hey, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm praying for you. And there's something that God has given us called encouragement, and it's incredibly important for our lives. I mean, the very act of encouragement is, I mean, the word literally means to put courage into someone, to encourage, but it's the idea that someone takes you from where you're at and they give you support and they bring to light the hope and positive part of life that you're often kind of missing as the weight and the worry, the problems and the stresses of this world begin to weigh you down. Now, I mean, I'm a young dad. And I've got, like as Pastor Jerry said, I've got two children, and my wife and I mean, having kids is, it's crazy. It's a trip. I mean, nobody can prepare you for the day you go to a hospital, and like, I don't even know how to, what balancing a checkbook is, and 3 days later, I'm leaving a hospital with a human life in my hands. It's like, what in the world is wrong with this picture? And no matter how many books I read or whatever, it doesn't prepare you for having a kid. You're just, and the first time my son Connor got sick, he was probably he'd been sick, but the first real time he got really sick, it's probably like one or one and a half. And we had taken him to SeaWorld for the first time, and let him pet all the little starfish and all that stuff, and he'd been wiped out. And we come home, we put him to bed. And my wife and I were wiped out, we go to bed, and it was probably about midnight or so when we hear his screaming. I mean, it's just crazy screaming. And if you're a parent, you know, a young baby screaming, and we go in, we pick him up, and it's like, oh man, he's like as hot as a heating pad. It's just like he's burning up in my arms, and he's crying, and he's hysterical, and snot's all over, and like little babies, it's like, what am I doing? And so I'm holding him, and I'm trying to figure out, like, we can't call any family, we can't, you know, really do much. There's no doctor's office open. And I'm like, hey, babe, what do we do? And so... I pull out my phone and I did the worst thing you can do with sickness, right? You go to Google. It's like the number one worst. If I were to write a proverb, I think Pastor Dave had his proverb. My proverb would be never Google your symptoms, because you will 9 times out of 10 come up with dengue fever or polio or I don't know what, tetanus. It's just like I've had cancer 5 times, but like we do this with my son and it's 1 a.m. now, and we're freaking out, and he's crying and screaming, and we're Googling it and going through like blogs of moms and worst case scenarios. And I just remember, like, he's gonna die. It's the end. Like, it was a good run, Connor, but like, we're gonna take you to the hospital, I'm pretty sure. And my wife, who's a little bit more balanced than me, a little less like unstable, she's like, well, Justin, we've got health insurance, and on the back of our cards, it says 24/7 nurse line. Why don't you call that? And so I call her, like, ready for the bad news, like, here we go. And we call this nurse, and the sweetest lady answered. And she's like, hi, okay, tell me about what's going on with Connor. And I'm like, have you ever done this? You know, you're telling her everything. Well, I don't know, I've read everything. He's got polio. We need a vaccine for that. Like, And it's like I'm the doctor telling her what's wrong. And she's like, okay, is that it? You know, and it's really, he just had a fever and was snotty, you know, but like, it's the worst thing in the world to me. And she's like, okay, Justin, I've got good news. Like, Connor's not going to die. You don't even need to come to the hospital. You don't even need to go to urgent care. He's going to be okay. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? I've diagnosed this. And she's like, yes, Justin, it's okay. I'm telling you what, I've actually talked to a bunch of other people tonight, and their kids are having the same problems. Do you have children's Tylenol? I'm like, yeah, okay. And she's like, give him some children's Tylenol. I'm like, the whole bottle? How much should I give him? I mean, really? And she's like, no, just give him the recommended dosage. It's going to be fine. And if it gets, his temperature gets over 105, or I forgot what she told me, probably should know that, but if his temperature gets over a certain amount, then you're going to call me back, and we'll probably bring him in. I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, Justin, it's just going to be okay. Go to sleep, wake up in a few hours, take his temperature again, and you're going to be fine. And it's like, I remember that when I think of this encouraging word, because have you ever found that there's those moments in your life where you're freaking out? I mean, you feel like the boat is sinking and you're going down. And just, I mean, I don't know whether it's, you know, relationship related or work related or just the stresses and problems of life. And there's that one person who could come along and go, you know what? Hey, you're going to make it. I know it looks bad now. I know you feel like this is the end and you know, you've Googled everything and it's worst case scenario, but it's so positive for us in our life to begin to find those areas where we need encouragement in and to begin to find people in our lives who will speak that encouragement into us. God has created us in such a way that we're relational people, and we need those relationships. We need that desperately, from the toughest, grittiest one of us to the softest of us. We need to hear people say, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. God's with you. Oh, look at what he's done in my life, and I'm way worse than you. It's going to be okay. And one of the big things is we need to, number one, understand today that we all need encouragement in our lives. It's a built-in need that each and every one of us have. And while we all need encouragement, we also need to understand God's made us to be encouraging people. Part of what helps us thrive in life is when we can come alongside other people and encourage them. Flip over real quick to Proverbs chapter 25 with me. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 25. This is a great verse when it comes to the nature of encouragement. Solomon says, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. So cold water to a weary soul, it's kind of a little bit like what we've been talking about. There's those moments and times where it's like hearing something good, it's just refreshing to your soul. You feel down, you feel out, you feel tired, you feel worn. And that's when a nice cup of water is great. But he says, that's the way it is with good news from a far country. Now, this is a little different than how we receive news in Solomon's time than nowadays. I mean, when we get news, it's instant. You know, you find out somebody had a baby. It's like, well, I follow them on Facebook. I've seen every pregnancy photo all throughout the month. Or someone's getting married or something's going on. We get instant. I mean, text messages, emails, alerts on our phone. It's just instant nowadays. But in Solomon's time, things weren't so instant. I mean, they didn't have UPS next day air. When messages went from one side of the country, they took days. And messengers were sent out, and it was kind of a surprise at times because you didn't have constant status updates about, you know, maybe someone you knew who was engaged and, oh, they're getting married, so you're invited to the wedding. No, in their days, it was pretty sudden. It's like, hey, their parents have arranged a wedding, and you find out from a messenger who's come from far away, and it's kind of a surprise, like, hey, I have family getting married, or hey, I have this happening in my life. And Solomon would find out as he sends troops to war and battles are going on, all of a sudden he gets a messenger back saying, hey, we've got the victory. And he goes, isn't that how encouragement is sometimes? When you're not really expecting it, when you don't really deserve it, and all of a sudden just someone comes along and says something to you that just completely changes your perspective in life. I mean, we tend to treat people in a way that says, if you treat me nice, I'm going to give you compliments, or I'm going to treat you nice. Or if you're doing really well in life, I'm going to compliment you and give you encouragement. But the nature of encouragement sometimes is for us to come alongside other people and see in them what they might not see themselves. see in their lives what they might have lost focus of and lost sight of. I mean, because we all lose sight that, hey, no person in here that you're sitting with is just a mere person. I mean, you've all been made in the image of God, the Bible says. You've all got eternal worth and value, people that he's looked at and he said, I love you so much that I'm even going to send my only begotten son to die for you. And we tend to kind of go through relationships in life and we lose this focus. People are just kind of people. And, oh, I'll be nice to you or treat you positively if you treat me positively. But good news from a far country is kind of like surprising someone like, hey, I see in you something that you don't necessarily see yourself. I mean, coaches have to do this. I know I coached a long time ago, 1 year of soccer, and it was like I took over a freshman soccer team at Tribuco Hills, and it was like a nightmare. They were the Bad News Bears. They had two left feet and just didn't know what to do. And it's like at a certain point I figured this out. I'm like, I got to help encourage these kids that like we're not going to lose every single game. I got to help them see that they can be better than this. And the moment they began to see that, they actually started doing better. And it's kind of like this in life with other people. Every day you pass by, you talk to people, you have relationships with people, and they're desperate and they need light and life from you. And if you lack the ability to see that people are very important, God has made people in his image, and you just kind of are frivolous in your relationships, you just think, well, it's all about me, then you're going to miss a really important part of the role that God has for you on this earth, which is reaching out to people and bringing life to them through your words. Giving support to them through what you can bring in that situation. I mean, and it doesn't always require words. There are some hurts and some pains and some problems that, I mean, we would belittle the problem if we tried to put into words how we feel about it. If someone's lost a loved one, they don't always need us to try and fix it or give an answer or say, well, God works everything out for the good. In those moments, we have the responsibility of being supporters and speaking life to people through maybe crying with them, matching their emotions, hugging them, and just telling them that we're praying and we're with them. But we all have an incredibly important role with all the relationships that God is giving us throughout our weeks and throughout our lives, in our families, and with our kids and our grandkids, to begin to look for ways to speak positivity and to speak life into other people's lives. Now, it's not just one of those things, being a positive person or an encouraging person, that you just go, well, cool, I'll wake up Monday and I'm just going to be super positive. That's it. I've got it down. It's not one of those things you can necessarily always will yourself. I mean, some people by their nature are really positive and encouraging. And those people are awesome. They're great to have around. But the rest of you, if you're like me, you have to kind of work at it. And Solomon gives us some advice for our lives. And he's not just telling us, hey, go be positive. There's a few other verses that I want to focus on that begin to help us to make changes in our own life, to begin to find the well to draw on to be a positive and encouraging person. So flip over with me really quickly to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. In verse 13 and 14, Solomon says, my son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. I love that. He starts with the idea of like, hey, if you found honey, eat it. Honey's sweet. Honey tastes good. I mean, we all know what honey tastes like because it's such an easy commodity to get. But not so much in Solomon's time. Once again, things were a little bit different back then. And I mean, finding honey, man, that was a pain. I was watching... I took my kids on Thursday to go see that new movie, The Jungle Book. I won't spoil it, but I mean, if you've seen the cartoon, you've seen the movie. But the movie was really cool, and there's this point where Mowgli, the young boy, runs into Baloo, and Baloo sends him up to get him honey. And I'm watching this scene as this little guy is climbing up up really high onto this rock cliff, and I realize, like, well, that's actually true about honey. Most of the beehives I know just really aren't within arm's reach. I mean, they're pretty hard to get to. And you know, the second thing, I'm watching this kid up there trying to get honey for this bear, and he's getting stung all over the place. And I'm like, oh yeah, bees are with honey often. And so we have to kind of put ourselves into Solomon's context. If you're just out there stumbling along in the wilderness and you're walking or you're traveling and you find honey, it's going to come with some stings. It's not going to be that easy to grab. It's not just like going to your pantry and grabbing a thing of honey. No, There's actually a little bit of work that goes into it. But he says, listen, if you found honey, eat it. And in some ways, that's how the knowledge of wisdom is going to be to your soul. And it will be to you a bright, like he says, a prospect. There's a prospect or a bright future. And your hope will not be cut off, or the hope in your life will endure. You're going to have this bright future and this enduring hope inside of you. It's like your light inside of you will be bright. Just the way that when you find honey in the wilderness and you eat that and you feel kind of revitalized and feel energetic when you have too much sugar, right? You know, and he goes, that's the way that when you find the things that are good and wise for your soul and you do them, that's the way your life is going to begin to kind of take shape. Now, he doesn't say your life's going to be easy, but he says you're going to have a bright future and a hope that endures. Now this means, and what he's saying is there's a lot of things in our lives that we know are good for our souls. We know are wise for us. And when we do them, we're like, whoa, that felt great. I mean, for instance, in the area of relationships, we all know what being around discouraging people is like. And nobody wants to be a discouraging person. You know, it's said that some people, you know, they light up a room when they enter it, and other people, they light up a room when they leave it. And we all know those people, right? They're just kind of a bummer, and it's like they're always there. And I sometimes use this when I'm being discouraging. I use the excuse like, well, I'm going to tell the truth in love, so I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong with you and why I keep having the same problems and why you keep doing the same dumb things. And you're like, being around that type of person or types of people that are always gossiping and being negative or angry and losing their temper, as we've talked through the Proverbs, we learn so many behavioral traits that when we're around these types of people, man, it just brings us down. Solomon says, on the other hand, you found honey, you found good people. You know that being around positive, being around encouraging people in your life, people that pray for you and support you and lift you up, is incredibly important. He goes, don't just pass it up because it's kind of a pain in the butt sometimes to go and surround yourself with those people. I mean, let's be honest, it's not always the easiest. Naturally in our lives, I think when we're surrounded by our family and coworkers, most relationships can tend to be kind of negative. Solomon goes, hey, have you found the good things? We need to make steps and take steps in our life to surround ourselves with them and to balance our lives out. I mean, some relationships you can't just bail on. Some family, I mean, they're here and they're not going anywhere. Some your coworkers and the stress that comes with them, it's probably not going anywhere unless you quit. But he says, on the other hand, you can choose to bring balance to your life by finding things that are good and wise for your soul. If it's really good and wise for you to surround yourself with positive and encouraging people, then you need to take some steps to find those types of people in your life. It's why when I deal with teenagers, it's so, like, I repeat myself. I'm like, hey, come to youth group, come to youth group. And I'm not just trying to build a super huge youth group, but I look at teens and I look at the problems that they face and the stresses they go through. And you know, it's the first time you're dealing with some of the real problems in life and you don't know how to do it. And we create these groups called small groups or connect groups in our youth ministry. And in those groups, I put leaders in those groups. And those leaders are there to encourage kids, to talk with them, to text them throughout the week, hey, I'm praying for you. And the guys, they pray with guys, and the girls, they pray with girls. And I try my best to get kids to realize how important it is for them to make those types of relationships in their life at an early age. Because the older we get, the more excuses we have. But for us adults, it's incredibly important. I mean, that's why our church, we're so driven to help you find a small group. We have over 30 different small groups. Because we found it's incredibly important for us to surround ourselves with people. Our women's ministry, they meet in small groups. Our men's ministry, after a teaching, they meet in small groups. Because we need to have those types of close and personal relationships that begin to speak life and build us up. And so for some of us, we need to really evaluate that area of our life. What are the people I surround myself with? I mean, is it all negative? Is it all work? Is it all stress? I mean, are other people in my life that pray for me, that encourage me? Because you can easily take a few steps and find one of those groups or find connection in that way. But anyway, haven't you found that, I mean, with the television, with things we read and we watch, I mean, you take in too much negative stuff and you're just stressed. I mean, I don't even follow politics, yet I'm the most stressed out guy because I'm like, who am I voting for? And it's like this whole political season, we're all stressed out, we're all anxious, we're all down in the dumps. And it's like, I realize, man, I need to feed my soul a little bit more. I mean, yeah, I should be informed, but at a certain point, the news just drags me down, and too much negativity in my life just wears me out. I need to learn where the line is to turn off the news and go, hey, I'm going to turn to God's word. And I'm going to grow in that. I'm going to turn and I'm going to pray to God. And I'm going to take some steps to build up my faith. Or have you ever found that environments are kind of like this? You can be just totally bummed out, down and depressed, but I mean, you go down to the beach or something, or you go to a park and you're just hanging out and you just, all of a sudden, God's creation, or whether it's like kids that are playing and you just, you surround yourself in a different environment, and all of a sudden you just feel, wow, I felt good. I felt a little bit changed because I went out of my normal area, my normal steps. And Solomon begins to say, hey, this is what doing the wise things that we've been honestly talking about in the book of Proverbs does for our soul. It gives us a bright future prospect and an enduring hope. I know for me, about a week and a half ago, we were having this event where I was taking our youth students and leaders to meet with our season classics, our seniors ministry over in Laguna Woods. And we were going to play some Bunko. Right? It was already kind of an uphill battle to convince young kids that Bunko is cool. But it was fun. You know, I knew it was going to be great when we got there. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I went out to dinner the night before, and I'm taking my mom out for dinner for her birthday, and she tells me in the middle of dinner, like, hey, you remember, you know, I had this father figure when I was growing up. His name was John, and you remember Johnny? He's really sick right now. He's actually being transferred across the country, and he's got pancreatic cancer, and doesn't look good. He's in ICU, and he can't even start the clinical trials that they transferred him across the country for, and he's really, really, really sick, and I don't know much longer he has, and I'm, like, sitting there, and I go, oh, man. It's just bad news. It just, I mean, my mom wasn't trying to, but it just brought me down. And then Friday rolls along, and I'm supposed to take kids to go play Bunko. And I'm like, there's nothing I feel like doing less than going and playing Bunko right now, right? You're just bummed out. I just want to sit at home, watch TV, and just feel bad about myself and think about bad memories. And, like, I didn't feel like it. But, it's my job, so I got to go. But I was going over this verse and I realized, I'm like, you know what? This is good for my soul. There's a lot of people there that are encouraging and positive, and taking these kids and seeing them have a great time is going to be really good for me. So, okay, I'm not just going to go through the motions, God. I'm going to do this and I'm going to have a great time. I'm convincing myself of it. And I can tell you, I went and I played Bunko, and I've never played Bunko before, but I had so much fun. Sitting across from guys like Gary and Dean and having them joke with me and make fun of me as I'm learning to play Bunko, having leaders like Brittany and like Mario running around the room and shouting Bunko, and watching our kids have the greatest time with our seniors. I would have never thought that that was possible, but God brought this group together, and I'm like, of all things, Bunko was just what I needed. And I'm like, how odd is that? God works in such weird ways, but it's kind of like that for us. When we begin to feel worn out, we begin to feel down, there are very real times where we need to just go, God, I'm just going to trust you. There are some wise and good things for my soul. I might not feel like reading my Bible this morning, but I know that you're going to meet me. I might not feel like just getting out of the house and walking or doing something positive. I might be totally scared to join a small group and connect with other people and take that, you know, they're all friends over here and I got to be the new person. I might be totally scared to do that, but somehow we find that as we take those steps of faith, as we follow God and the things that he say are wise and good for our souls, all of a sudden that hope, I mean, it's like our life lights up. All of a sudden we see God meet us there and things change. And Solomon goes, you're never going to be an encouraging person. You're never going to have that unless you choose to do the things that are good for you. Unless you choose to eat that honey instead of just passing it by and going, oh man, that's a pain in the butt to get. Solomon says, you don't have to turn there. Over in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 9, he says, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. It's kind of the idea that, hey, listen, as you follow God, as you do the good things that he leads you to, the righteous means you're making the right choices, if you would. God leads you and he says it's good for your soul to do this or to connect with them or to surround yourself with more positive people. You find that the light of your life begins rejoicing. You begin to have things in your life to be thankful for. You've surrounded yourself and chosen to just listen to God, and you're like, wow, my life has something good. But the lamp of the wicked will be put out. People who aren't doing what God says and what God leads them to, their light just goes out. And every time I choose in some small way. Every time I'm choosing in my life, like, well, I know what God wants me to do, but I just feel like this. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to go there or surround myself with that. I'd much rather just veg out. I'd much rather just take a break. We kind of find that that light in our life, it's just a little dimmer. It's just not so bright. Solomon's saying, hey, the righteous, as you make the right choices, as you follow God, as you eat of the honey, your life has something to rejoice over. You're going to be a more positive person. And this is so awesome because it's what us, as the people of God, we have this great difference from everyone else in the world. They're all searching for light. They're all searching for something to encourage them. And we've found it. I mean, we found it in God and what he promises to us. We're found it in the way he leads us and guides us and gives us each other to build us up. And it's one of the things that in the New Testament, Paul was so big on. I mean, he has verse after verse saying, hey, listen, we are to be people that build each other up because that's what distinguishes us from other people. We're to be people that love each other. He says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, he says, comfort each other and edify one another just as you're also doing. So huge. Comfort and edify. Be people that speak life to each other and build each other up, not break each other down, not discourage each other. He says in Romans 14, 19, I love this verse. He says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify one another. We're to be people that we're walking in the light. We walk after the things that make for peace, the wise things for our soul, the good things for us, the righteousness. We walk in the light. And he says, we talk in the light. We edify one another. We build each other up. And so this week, I encourage you guys, what in your life are you maybe consuming that's really been negative? It's really been dragging you down. Well, God gives you ways in which you can lighten your life. You can begin to surround yourself with maybe more positive people. Maybe you've been bummed out and feeling, okay, well, everything's been going wrong. Maybe you need to step out and serve someone else. I don't know what it is. Maybe you look at the announcements up on the screen and you see we're doing all these outreaches and all these, we're going to the friendship shelter or we're going to Mexico, and maybe you're scared, but you know in your heart that it's the wise thing for you to do. Step out and serve. I promise you, it's an amazing time every time you do. Maybe you look at the relationships and you see, okay, I've got a little bit too much negative. I need to surround myself with some new people. Maybe you need to look into a small group. I don't know exactly where it is, but God will lead you in each and every one of our lives. God has something good for us to begin to follow after, to begin to consume. So walk in the light. And number two, talk in the light. Who has God surrounded you with this week? Maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your grandkids, maybe it's your coworkers, maybe it's your friends, your spouse. Those people aren't just people in your lives. They're people that God made in his image, and they're so important. And so often, all the people in our immediate relationships, they've lost sight of the hope that is in God for them. They've lost sight that God had made them in his image, and God has a plan and a future and a hope for them. In what ways can you look at them? Can you communicate life? Maybe you need to grieve with someone. Maybe just complimenting someone. If you have a waiter or waitress and just being like, you're the greatest waiter or waitress. And you can encourage them by not just giving them the standard tip, but giving them a great tip. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's picking up your grandkids and just taking them out for ice cream and just telling them God has something special. Maybe it's just taking your wife out for a date and just encouraging her. I don't know what it is, but begin to look at the relationships in your life. And understand that your job is not just to get from them. Your job is to begin to look for ways that you can build other people up. Can you just imagine if all of us in here did that? What a positive impact we would have in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools. People looked at Christians and they didn't see all the things we were against and all the things we were angry about and protesting, but they saw the things we were encouraging each other. They saw the ways in which we looked into other people's lives and supported them and loved and cared for them. People would want to hear about Jesus. People would want to hear about the message we have because it's so different from everything else in this world. As we close today, I just want to encourage you in those two things. Walk in the light and talk in the light. For we are people with great hope. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the encouragement you give us. God, you know everyone in here and what our lives could be like if ultimately we were perfect like you. But God, you take us just as we are. And Lord, there may be some changes that we need and we feel like you're leading us to make in our lives. And I just pray that this week you strengthen us. Help us to follow after those wise things for our soul. God, give us the wisdom, the guidance, the words to speak as we step out in faith and encourage one another. Help us to take that first step and to be positive and a light in other people's lives. We thank you, God, and we pray that in our own troubles and in our own pain, in our own worry, anxiety, and fear, that you meet us there. You tell us it's going to be okay. You've given your son Jesus to die for us. We have life through you. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.